Paul Mixon from Corporate Eye. Today I'm down at the group interviewing Mark Hill and Frank Harkin. Let's start, Mark, with a little introduction. Tell us about the company, your focus, your market, what makes you different.
First of all, thank you for inviting us to speak. We're flattered. We design and build, host, manage, develop, if you like, large corporate websites. That's our game. We've been doing it for a long time. So we started in 95, and things have changed a bit since then. So we know a little bit about what we're doing, and we try to stick at it. And I guess the difference between us and other agencies is pretty small, to be honest with you, but we just work hard at what we're trying to do, which is to specialise in this particular area.
But you do have some of the top sites in terms of the ones that you've built, and so you're working a little harder as being, I think, quite successful, to be honest, in terms of the results, the end results that we see.
Yes, but there are a lot of good agencies, and yes, we happen to specialise in it, we've got a long track record, and yes, we have done well, but there are also a lot of good sites out there, and a lot of good sites done by in-house teams, which people tend to overlook. So there is a lot of high-quality corporate sites, and we have got some good ones, yes, but there's lots out there.
Let's then start off initially talking about the shortfalls that you see in terms of the key areas where people could develop a lot better sections on their sites or do a lot more.
There are quite a lot of ideas about where corporate websites will go. The most obvious one is that eventually corporates will get social. Frank's published some research on social media in terms of its take-up by FTSE 100 companies.
Mm-hmm. And we've been doing this for a year, actually, and then started off last year. We're looking at the FTSE 100 and how they're using Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and corporate blogging. And we found over the there's been an upward trend, generally, with all of these channels over the last year, particularly Twitter. I think that makes sense. Twitter is easy to use, and it's a pretty foolproof way of getting your message out there. And it's easy to set up, and we have about 45% of the FTSE 100 are using Twitter at the moment.
Did you look at what way they're using Twitter, whether it's just broadcasting or whether they're actually interacting?
Yeah, we did. We're blogging more about, I think the first set of research was very much raw numbers, but we will be looking at best practices and who's doing well and who's not. But yeah, there's a huge discrepancy actually across FTSE 100. The companies that are using Twitter and the other channels, and who's doing it well, who's not doing it well. There is a tendency for companies to feel like all they need to do is set something up and send out the press releases. Others see an opportunity to kind of talk to people. VA have a very good Twitter account, for example, and responded very well during the snowpocalypse to people's questions. And I think, you know, it's a nice way to talk to people. It's very quick, it's very easy, and if you put, I think with social media you get which output, what you put into it, and I think VA put a lot into it. I mean,
we're seeing a few companies, like Sainsbury's and so on, starting to make the effort to outreach to the bloggers, to interact with them more as well, and so the initial use of social media and they're starting to see who has influence and so on is starting to make people see opportunities. Whereas I think maybe
true.
Before they didn't see, you know, just say, oh, you could tweet, they didn't necessarily see that there was what the opportunity was.
We follow a model which is integrate social media into your corporate site, monitor it, and then engage. And a couple of our clients have been very successful at it. Centrica have got a big corporate blog. SAB Miller have got a big corporate blog. And SAB Miller used their corporate blog very effectively in December to discuss the issues that were being put to them by an organisation called ActionAid. And they were accusing SAB Miller of dodging tax. SAB Miller had the platform to respond, and did, and articulated their case very powerfully. And they also used, actually, social media widely, because they've got a Facebook account, and they've got Twitter, and they've got a YouTube channel. So that's, a living, breathing example of a corporate that successfully used social media in a communication sense in a crisis. Now, as things go forward, there'll be more and more of these types of events where crisis communications requires a social media communications strategy. So corporates are going to have to get used to it. A lot of them are, but not enough, and not quickly enough. And people forget, you know, the big numbers here. You've got 2 billion internet users globally. You've got 600 million of them on Facebook. You've got another 600 million of them on Tencent, which is the Chinese equivalent of Facebook. The world expects corporates to have conversations online, and they're not ready to go there yet, to be honest with you.
What's holding them back, do you think?
Well, they're big companies. By definition, the change is something they don't particularly like. They haven't got where they are today. By jumping on every bandwagon. So I think that's definitely, I think change in big companies is something that's quite a difficult thing to happen. But I think it will.
They're also worried, naturally enough, about compliance. And they're worried about governance. They don't understand how these mediums work in a broad sense. They're on a big learning curve, and some of them are, you know, reaching for it quite quickly, and some of them just saying, no, we're not interested. And in some cases, you know, it's completely appropriate not to be too aggressive here, but we do want people to get hold of these four main mediums, their own corporate blog, Facebook, YouTube and Twitter. That's the big four. They need to organise themselves around that. For some people, it's purely about getting hold of their URLs. So if I'm a large corporate and I haven't grabbed and controlled my Facebook space, at least controlled it.
Yep. It needs a brand jacket. You know,
exactly.
That's
exactly right. Yep. So, you know, they do need to control these spaces, even if they don't use them very much, if at all. That's our approach. You need to get hold of these things. You need to monitor what's happening. And we do monitoring for our clients, and the stuff that you find is truly staggering. Corporates don't realise how many conversations are going on about them in the world. They just have no vision of it whatsoever, is my gut feeling. Until you show it to them, they don't get it.
So what sort of tools do you use for that?
We use a tool that's built by Alterion. It's called SM2. It's very good. Got 7 years worth of data in it. Collects a lot of stuff. It's a very intelligent search engine. Mm-hmm. We back it up with our own because we use some other search engines. For example, we take stuff from Daylife, and we're interested in complementing the SM2 data. There are tools out there, and we put the stuff in front of our clients, and they can react. The last part of it is where you choose whether or not to engage. SAB Miller chose to engage, did it very effectively, and they did it on their own platform. Doing it on their own platform, not out there in the wild on somebody else's platform, very important. Stops people from impersonating you, for example. That's our model for social media. Will corporates get it? Yes, they will. Will they get it quickly? No, they won't. But it's coming, whether they like it or not.
And do you think, is it the combination of success stories and scare stories that will move them on? from the US. I don't know if you saw the problems that Vodafone had with their hashtag, and it was well meant, well thought through, but suddenly this issue rose up where people wanted to throw mud at them. So, and the cautionary tales are useful as long as they happen to everyone else to help guide people how to use it, how to exploit it, as well as obviously needing the positive tales.
Yeah.
I don't think social media irons those things out. It's just a medium.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop people doing things you don't want them to do. So, I mean, I think social media reflects business. It doesn't change it, you know.
I would probably challenge that. I think that the way that it can, you know, you look at BP, what happened around Gulf of Mexico, the speed with which campaigns developed.
Yep.
I think that does force changes back on the organisation in terms of the ability to, or the need to make decisions and respond quickly.
No, I completely agree with that, but I mean, it doesn't change people. It doesn't.
Yeah.
You still need people responding quickly, you still need people making the right decisions, doing sensible things, doing clever things. So, obviously, you give them, it makes a big difference in terms of speed, it makes a big difference in terms of the amount of people you can reach. But it doesn't, you still need people, you still need that base. You still need to be a well-run company, you still need to have people making clever, good decisions.
Your point is well made, that corporates are sitting there having to invent new processes, new governance models, find people who know about social media, somehow put them into their comms departments, and figure out how to use all this sort of stuff. Not easy. Not easy at all. And certainly not easy to do quickly. But that's what we're seeing. We're seeing communications teams changing. And people are bringing in people who have experience of social media. That's what we expect to evolve. And the other thing that will happen is that it will be a little bit of a generational thing.
Yep.
There's no two ways about that. There are some old dogs, and you're not going to teach them new tricks. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's the way of the world.